is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Why God Chose You, His Plan for Your Life. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Johnny Ray Watson with It's Beginning to Rain, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
The turtle dove is singing the sweet songs of the morning. The leaves of the trees send their silvery cups to the sky. The silent clouds above are beginning to gather. The barren land is so thirsty, and so am I. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
Beginning to rain.
The young man's eyes start to shine as he tell of his vision. The old understands what he sees, for they dream their dream. With a thrill of being alive, they reach for each other. And they dance in the rain for the joy of the thing they see. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain. At the first drop of rain that you feel, open your window. Then call all the children together, throw wide the door. When the rain of the Spirit are falling, fill every vessel. For he who drinks his fill will thirst no more. It's beginning to rain, 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 hear the voice of our Father. Water. I promise to pour my spirit out
your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You didn't realize, dear Christian sister, that a young woman was looking at you, seeing how you would respond to a certain thing. Maybe she was testing you. Maybe she seemed like a very, very wicked person. And she was testing you. Did you pass the test? This is what God does. We have to pass the test. And sometimes we don't even realize it's a test. We don't know that we are to be tested. But God has arranged a test for us. Now that's the way it is. So God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You're going to walk in them one way or another. Tomorrow morning you're going to get up. You're going to take your shower, take your bath. You're going to eat your breakfast. You're going to go to work. You're going to go do your daily activities. Maybe stay at home and work on some things. I don't know, but whatever you're going to do is going to be something that God has given you to do. It may be that you just go to work and you do a good job. Maybe nobody even notices what you're doing, you think. But somebody notices, somebody sees, somebody says, well, James sure does do a good job. Or, well, Nancy seems to have put on a sprout here. Now, you see, prophecies are determined by God in advance. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So he's already arranged all these things. He's already determined. He's ordained them even. You see how the holiness comes in? He's ordained things. You go, wow, he's ordained me? Yeah, you're ordained. Somebody asked me one time, well, when were you ordained as a minister? And I was thinking about it. When was I ordained? When were you licensed? When were you ordained? They have all these words. Well, I didn't know I was ordained. You may not realize you're an ordained minister. Say, no, I've never been ordained. I've never been chosen. Yeah, you were chosen. And you were ordained. And God already arranged the good steps for you in advance. Isn't that kind of him? You don't have to work so hard. I don't know if I can be a good enough Christian. I just don't know if I can please him. I don't know if I... Shut up. Go be about doing your job. Everything will come in its way. Everything will come in its path. And you're going to have to respond to that. As an ordained minister of God. Say, well, Tex, I haven't really read the Bible. Well, go read it. And, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how to preach to people. And if they ask me how to become a Christian, I don't know what I would say. Well, go find out. How did you become a Christian? Then you've got a witness. You're an overcomer. Go find out. You might find you already have the answer in your heart. It might be right there waiting for you to express it. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father. Did he say you had to be a genius? I've told you before about the man who was very educated, had a PhD, and he knew he needed something very badly. and he didn't know who to go to. He thought over his old list of Christian friends, and he said, well, none of them really know much about anything. They're just, you know, they just go to the church, and they really don't know. And then he thought to a man that he knew, a man that fixed his motorcycle. A very unedifying man. Man who had a lot of grease on his hands. But he knew he was a Christian. And several times he had brought his motorcycle in, a very classic motorcycle. This guy had quite a bit of money. And rather than trying to, you know, get money from him for fixing something that really didn't need it, he often would find something very small. Well, here's all that's necessary is this little, you know, screw here. Or, well, here's that. And if the guy ever did say, well, boy, you've really got a problem here, he would trust him. So he went to him. Said, I've got a real problem. I'm about to lose my wife, my home. I'm about to lose everything. And I don't know what to do. What do you think I should do? It was in the middle of a garage. The guy was working on his motorcycle. And he looked up and he says, you need Jesus. Well, the guy was flabbergasted. How did he know he wasn't a Christian? He needed Jesus. And the motorcycle mechanic took him by the arm, took him outside, said, you need Jesus, brother. Only Jesus can solve these things for you. Well, the man says, well, I want to know how to get Jesus. I want to know how to get Jesus then. So he showed him how to get Jesus. Wasn't hard, wasn't difficult, but he had to pray and ask Jesus to come into his heart. And when he did, he found that Jesus was already waiting for him to do that. You see, the Bible in Revelation says that Jesus is already knocking at the door. He's ready to come in. And he wants to help you. And he wants to create a new man in you. That's what John 3:3 is all about. He will create in you a new person. You'll be made in workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained. And he realized he was not being a good Christian man. He was not being the man that God made him out to be. And he determined in his mind that he would go back and see his wife and tell her, I've done you a terrible injustice all these years. And he did. Well, we have to understand sometime that we're born a certain way, in a certain place, in a certain economic sphere, on purpose. On purpose. Take the Apostle Paul. He went on a trip. The worst kind of things happened to him on that trip. The ship he was on was, you know, got in a big sea wave and, boy, it collapsed. And he was there on the shore with men. You know, and they were all shivering in the cold. So he wanted to make a little fire. So he went to get some wood for some fire, and a snake bit him. And he just cast the snake off into the fire. And they said, this man must be of God. He's had all these horrible things happen to him, and now he's had this, they knew it was a poisonous snake. He's been bitten by a poisonous snake, and he just throws him off into the fire. You see, Paul was not going to be permitted, you might say. He was not going to allow his mission to be anything but what he wanted it to be. God had chosen him to go to a certain place, and so he was going there. He lost the ship. The snake bit him. He was deprived. He was out there in the cold. But he went right on. And you know of the many times that he was thrown in jail and beaten. Well, God made a mistake all those times, didn't he? Think about that. If God was with him, the ship would have sailed good. If God was with him, he wouldn't have been bitten by a snake. If God, well, wait just a minute now. Maybe God was with him all those times. Maybe those men saw that and said, this man is of God. This man has the gods with him. They didn't even know who God was. In one case, a blind man came to Jesus to be saved, to be healed, that is. And he was begging, please, please, help me. I'm blind. And his disciples asked Jesus, well, why was this man born blind? Had to be a reason for it. Could have been that he was his parents. Yeah, before he was ever born, his parents were evil. That's why he was born blind. Now, his disciples actually asked Jesus that. Or maybe he did something in a past life. We have a lot of people believing that today, reincarnation. Was it something he did in a past life? Was it something his parents did? Have you ever asked that question? You see somebody, they're disabled, they're in a wheelchair, they've lost a limb, they can't speak, they can't see. You say, why did that happen to them? I've thought of that many times. And Jesus answered and said, for the glory of God. That's why. For the glory of God. That God would see him and be here at this spot, at this time, at this moment in world history. I'm sure his disciples were absolutely astonished. He was supposed to be there at that moment to be healed. They say, well, what of those many that are not healed? Well, I'm sorry about them. But these people, this man, was healed. You know, God does not make mistakes. It's been said that he doesn't throw dice. We know that. And there's no such thing as luck. That's where we talked about fortune and luck and all those things. See, you are predestined for glory or for perdition, which will be your destiny. Turn from evil, turn from sin, believe in Jesus Christ and the cross and the resurrection, or perish. You've been chosen for one of those things. Which one is it? You know, in Billy Graham's Crusades, it always seems that people are asked to make a choice. Come down to the stage and make a choice. Well, I always thought about that. Come down and make a choice. Make a decision. His magazine is even called The Decision. And I thought about that. You know, really, do we really choose? Do we make a decision? I mean, maybe we're discussing semantics today. I don't want to get involved in a semantics argument. But the fact is that God has chosen you. You haven't chosen God. He's chosen you. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. And they don't understand why God would choose some crummy people. Look at that David. Look what he did. Look, a lot of the men, Moses was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. I mean, they were people that just don't seem like they're champions of apostleness or, you know, they're not disciples of Christ as far as I'm concerned. But he chose them. Now, you know, there's a before and an after. But many of them he's chosen before the foundation of the world. He's already chosen them. Now, that's amazing. I always loved 1 Peter chapter 2, which talks about us being, as members of the church, we're lively stones built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You're to offer spiritual sacrifices. Wow. You're a holy priesthood. Now, you know, people write to me, are you a reverend? Are you a minister? Well, you are, friends. Why ask me if you're one yourself? I'm the least of all. You say, well, I'm not a minister. I don't really qualify. But listen to this. It says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not, be confounded. If you believe on Jesus Christ, you're not going to be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, if you believe he's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Jesus can be very strict. He can be very hard. And is a stone of stumbling, and is a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Wherefore also they were appointed. They were appointed for this. I was watching the O'Reilly Factor the other night. There was a man named Silver. He was a Jew, and he's from the American Atheist Foundation. He's talking about getting rid of Christmas. Now, I don't care one way for Christmas or another. I really don't. It's going to be around. Jesus came. They can take all the vestiges of Christianity they want, all the tinsel, all the Christmas trees, all those things. They can take them and throw them in the trash can. He can have his victory, but what has he got? It's a hollow victory. I'm not going to fight for those things. There are other things more important than to fight for Christmas trees. You see, Christ is a stone of stumbling to such a person, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. They're disobedient. Wherefore also they were appointed. They were appointed to do this dirty work. He's of the American Atheist Foundation. What else do you think he's going to do? He's got to do what he's doing. He's been appointed to do it. Just like Judas was appointed to do it. Jesus said, I've chosen 12 of you and one of you is a devil. And Judas had to do it. He didn't have an option. He had been disobedient. He had stumbled at the word. He was against. You know, to him, it was a rock of offense. And he was appointed for his destiny. And Jesus said it would be better if you were never even born. Wow. It would be better if you were never even born.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.